Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more years, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 a.m., 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and like us and follow us on Facebook. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kowski. Today, we will be joined by Bishop Gerard Battersby, and we will discuss the pastoral letter, Unleash the Gospel. Father Zach, would you please open us up in some prayer?
Absolutely, Joe. Good to see you.
Always fun to have you back from Rome. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, in the Acts of the Apostles, you said, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has decided by his own authority, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which will come on you, and then you will be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria, and indeed to earth's remotest end." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, we ask today that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we would unleash your power, unleash the power of the gospel to those that we meet, to those who we live with and know and work with. And we pray for boldness in proclaiming the gospel by our actions and our words. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I wasn't sure if that was a gospel reading or if it was from Acts.
It was both.
And then it was, I know it was.
The Holy Spirit kind of overtook
me there. I didn't know how to respond on that one.
And we just did whatever.
Sounds good. All right. So we learned about Unleash the Gospel from our interview with Father John Ricardo.
He's a friend of the show.
He's a big supporter.
Big friend of ours.
Big fan of the show. And he had mentioned over and over ago this Unleash the Gospel. And so we obviously wanted to, A, read it, and B, then dive into it a little further. So we have Bishop Gerard Battersby will be joining us on the next segment to dive into it. So he was one of the people who put it together. He was in the front lines of how everything worked and the interviews and all the work that went into it. So we'll discuss, A, the letter, and B, what it means to us in the next segment. But we kind of wanted to take a few minutes here and dive through the contents of it specifically. Anything before I dive into this
sure,
that you want to point out?
Kind of important. So this is a pastoral letter released by the Archbishop of Detroit, Michigan, Archbishop Vigneron. And it kind of came about several years ago. It kind of had been a few years in the working. And basically, they felt the Holy Spirit calling them to kind of maybe organize their mission and their evangelization a little more succinctly and have some definite, like, action steps, if you will. So what they did was they interviewed a bunch of people, and they called a synod, so kind of a local church meeting of leaders and laity, priests, religious. And so I think just a kind of a really beautiful and interesting process that they kind of listened to the Holy Spirit calling them to this movement to be more effective and unleash the power of the gospel.
Yeah. So they have the whole thing broken up into guideposts. And the letter itself is about 62 pages. Now there's pictures in there too, so it counts. I mean,
some good pictures. I saw one of my friends in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So it's very done. It's very well. It's artistically put together. It's not 62 pages of hard reading. Okay, you could handle it. It's probably 30 pages of reading. You can do it. But so the guideposts, I'm just going to walk through them real quick to give you an idea of what's included
in it.
These
are chapters?
Yeah, guideposts are basically chapters. And then with some sub-chapters underneath of it. So the first one is, it's called the New Pentecost. So it talks about Acts and where we came from the Acts of the Apostles and what that would look like today. Guidepost two is with eyes fixed on Jesus. So this is how you encounter Jesus, how that without him, without learning about Jesus, none of this is going to happen. Guidepost three is one of my favorites, is the Word made flesh. So this is talking about the communion of the church, Scripture, reconciliation, and the Holy Eucharist. That one dives deep into why the church is doing what it's doing and then the importance of the sacraments. Guidepost four, equipping for the service of the gospel, evangelizing with the evangelizers, equipping the evangelizers, and the charisms of the church. Guidepost 5, no bystanders. Another one I like, it calls everyone out. So the laity needs to be involved, priests and deacons, consecrated life and movements, and youth and young adults. So everyone has to be engaged in this movement. Guidepost 6, person-to-person engagement. So going out, accompaniment, healing, and media. So how do we reach, what does this actually look like in the new evangelization? Guidepost 7, it's families. And there's an entire guidepost dedicated to just to the importance of families. Something we talk about so often on this show, they make it pretty explicit about the importance of the family. Guidepost 8 is attraction. So how do we make this attractive to others? And it gets a lot into Pope Francis's The Joy of the Gospel. Guidepost 9, encounter, grow, and witness. And the markers in that are literally encounter, grow, and witness. How can we do that in society today? And the last guidepost is calling upon the advocate. So talking about the Holy Spirit's role in what the new evangelization looks like, specifically on unleashing the gospel. So then after that, they have action steps. So all the different action steps and how the diocese is actually going to do that. So we would strongly encourage you to read this, to dive into it. And if you stick around, we're going to head to a short break. And when we return, we will be joined by Bishop Battersby to discuss Unleash the Gospel. Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction Professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com. Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky, and today we are joined by Bishop Gerard Battersby.
Bishop Battersby is a bishop in the Archdiocese of Detroit, Michigan. He is the youngest of nine. He grew up in Northwest Detroit, and in 1993, he entered Sacred Heart Major Seminary as a later vocation, adult vocation. In 2007, he was appointed to Sacred Heart Major Seminary staff, and he received a license in the new evangelization in 2008. Last January 25th, 2017, Bishop Battersby was ordained an auxiliary bishop to Archbishop Alan Vigneron. Today he joins us. And we welcome him. So welcome, Bishop.
It's good to be with you both.
Thank you.
God bless you and all your audience.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today from Detroit. We heard about Unleash the Gospel, which is a pastoral letter that the Archdiocese of Detroit released recently when we were interviewing Father John Ricardo a couple months back.
Excellent. Sure.
We are both large fans of his. And the topic of the show was heroic fatherhood, talking about the impact his father had on him and then what we can do to live that out in our lives. And he continually kept coming back to this pastoral letter, this Unleash the Gospel. You got to read Unleash the Gospel. Which, when Father John Ricardo says something, I tend to just listen to him and do it. So quickly, Google searched it, went to the website, downloaded it, and read it. And I thought, well, this is something our listeners will need to be need to hear more about as well. So thank you for joining us to talk about it. And let's just start at the beginning of the genesis of the letter. Whose idea was it? How long has it been in process to get going?
Well, the archdiocese, the archbishop has had a vision for the new evangelization in the Archdiocese of Detroit for a number of years, really since he has come back to Detroit from his time in Oakland as Bishop of Oakland. But in a more proximate way, about 3 years ago, at the Archbishop's instruction, we began dialogue gatherings, listening sessions, over 240 of them, to really find out where the priests and the people of the archdiocese are at, what their concerns are, what their hopes for the future are in terms of communicating the faith. And from those 240 gatherings, we had about 11,000 comments that had to be collated and waded through so that we could then accumulate that in preparation for the diocesan synod we had in the fall of 2016. Now, Unleash the Gospel is the fruit or the charter of the graces we received in that whole process. And so while it's the Archbishop's, really it comes from his heart, it's also it's an intensely collaborative document in that it is representative of the entire Archdiocese of Detroit. Our aspirations are looking with a sober eye at the state of the church in Detroit, and then coming up with solutions so that we can come alive in our discipleship, in our following of Christ, because really, it isn't about a program, and this isn't about a program. It's about falling in love with the one who is ultimately lovable. It's about bringing Jesus Christ in from the peripheries of our lives, of our parishes, of our institutions, and placing him where he belongs, right in the very center, the very purpose of our being. So it is, it's without being saccharine, it's about a love story, and with the one who first loved us.
I think it's very interesting, especially in the context of just the city, the Archdiocese of Detroit. I've been there a few times. A lot of opportunities, a lot of challenges, just that that I would say this, you know, the city would face.
You know, it's an unlikely place, mm-hmm. in some respects, to unleash the gospel. You know, we've suffered a terrible job loss. There are crime and racial tensions in Detroit, even to this day. I'm sad to say there are, of course, the biggest difficulty is the dissolution of the family and the family in crisis, and so all these things come together to make Unleash the Gospel and a new Pentecost in Detroit seem somewhat fanciful or even unlikely. But as the Archbishop pointed out in his pastoral letter, we may be dry wood, but dry wood is very apt for being set on fire. Dry wood is, mm-hmm. is apt to receive the flame of the Holy Spirit so that it can burst into a conflagration of grace. And that's exactly what we're beginning to experience, and that's our hope. You know, we prayed very earnestly for a new Pentecost in Detroit, you know, in the church in general. One of the things in preparation to the Synod, we had a massive reparation for, you know, for the historic sins committed by both clergy and laity, not to exclude, but including racism and other forms of uncharity. And I think that had a profound effect on not only us spiritually, but kind of reorienting ourselves to the Father's plan for us.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things in there. One was a new Pentecost, and the letter is full of references to the Acts of the Apostles. So one thing I would just throw out, obviously, over and over again, you guys are relying on the Acts of the Apostles, and kind of the first call I would use on this show to the men out there is if you're not really well-versed in the Acts of the Apostles, if you haven't read through it or done a Bible study on it, I can't encourage you enough to do that. The one that really got me lit a few years back was the Jeff Cavins Bible study on Acts of the Apostles. So do something there, and you'll understand a lot of the framework from where this letter is coming from. Secondly, you use the analogy of the wood, which is apt for lighting on fire. This thing is chocked full of great analogies like that. So if you like that kind of stuff, there's 67 pages with a lot of great things like that in there. And where I want to go with this next part is we have a bunch of excerpts that we'd like to kind of touch on. And one of them, the first one that really stood out to me was on Guidepost 3. So in the first segment, we talked about the guideposts. And this is from 3.1. Are all aware of their responsibility to encourage and build up others in the faith? Do all recognize the need to forgive the offenses of others and to bear with their faults and failings, to avoid cliques and fractions, to overcome social and cultural barriers, and to reach out to those who may feel lonely or neglected? And then it goes on from there to talk about an effective way to foster communion is to form well-planned small groups. And our show has talked a lot about small groups, but I love how you guys, you say, hey, here's what we need to be doing, and a great way to do that is to form small groups. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, you know, I mean, the fundamental unit of society, of the church, is the family. I mean, it is the ultimate small group, and it's kind of there in terms of the passing on the faith has to do with relationships. And so, obviously, prescinding from the family unit is the small unit where friends get together and enter more deeply into the call of discipleship. And so, the small groups are going to really naturally develop based on lines of friendship, of inner communion. They're going to have to do also with school groups, and in our day and age, I may be a little dated. Parents are forming play groups for the kids. Well, it's a natural thing for mothers and fathers then to reach out to other brothers and sisters in sharing the gospel, because it's not the purview of priests and bishops. It's our mandate, which we received in our baptism. It's the fundamental call of all Christians to be witnesses of the resurrection, to be in every aspect of our lives, to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to imitate his own self-giving love in the way we live, And that needs to have expression in our families and in all our relationships.
You mentioned in the letter, this is marker 8.2, for those who are following along with the letter, the one sheep. And you talk about in Jesus' ministry, his priority that he placed on reaching the lost, going after the lost sheep. We know that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has also made that a special focus of his pontificate to interact with maybe the least among us, people like Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Mary Magdalene. His whole mission, the letter reminds us in that section, is to seek and to save the lost. And can you talk a little bit about how that primary mission of Christ is also ours and how we can kind of live that out in a practical way, seeking the lost?
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, you sometimes hear the kind of at least implied notion that Jesus did it so I don't have to. Well, that's not a Catholic concept. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus did it so he could enable us to as well. You know, we're members of his body, and we participate through him, of course, doing the lion's share, but we participate with him in the salvation of the world. We're members of his body. And so as a consequence, there's a fundamental call on our lives of being agents of reconciliation, being witnesses of the resurrection, of entering into that deep communion, which is between the Father and his beloved Son. So, and that means reaching out to the marginalized. It means that the terrible divisions we see in society today based on artificial divisions. It can't be our way. Our way has to be Christ's way, and that way is to reach out to that one sheep, that lost one. Not in arrogance or pride, but as someone once said to me, very cleverly, we're just beggars who frankly know where the banquet is, and we point to other beggars, that's all.
Another great analogy you guys used here was, this is actually 8.3, so right after that, To bring an unchurched person directly into programs such as adult catechesis or the RCIA program is like throwing a non-swimmer into the deep end. And we have to make sure that every parish, insofar as possible, has a quote-unquote shallow end, an entry-level means of getting one's feet wet in the journey of faith. And then we talk about the proclamation of the gospel with Alpha and some other programs. So I thought that was a great idea. And that's what the letter's full of, things like this, just little practical ideas of helping people make that first step and meeting people where they're at. For men today, one of the things on this show we cover a lot is that men seem to be more tied up with work and family and all these things that are getting at them. What can we do? What do you think is keeping men from living out the call to unleash the gospel?
Well, you know, I mean, the society gives to men and women certain false values that as Christians we have to really actually be able to discern between the truth and between false ways of living out our Christian discipleship. You know, one of my favorite lines in the pastoral letter, Archbishop Ignoron uses the phrase that every Christian has to be stamped in the Eucharist through the self-giving love of Christ, so that self-donative love can be the very pattern of their living. And I think that's very bracing, especially not exclusive of women, but particularly for men as fathers who see themselves as giving themselves away for the good of their children, the good of their family. And so I think in a particular way, having a new pattern of loving, even while we're spending time earning a living or doing the things we must do as men, as fathers, it's vital that we do it in imitation of Christ. It's vital that self-donative, self-sacrificing way of living is actually understood as a way not of death, but as a way of coming to new life through the Paschal mystery. And so the essential thing for men is, I think, and for all Christians, but particularly when we're talking about men here, is the bracing invitation to imitate Christ. To imitate Christ as fathers, as sons, as husbands. Can you imagine what a family would look like if dad considered the needs of his wife and his children before him? If mom considered the needs of her husband and children before her? If both parents considered the needs of their children before themselves? The children would be formed in just an amazing Christian way of living. And that's, I mean, to me, that's powerful. And frankly, it's not for wimps. You know, I mean, if you look up on the cross, Jesus was the ultimate human being. And and if his way of living is embracing, I don't know whose is.
Yeah. Well, I like the quote.
But we always know that the hope of the cross is at the hope of the resurrection is at the end of this way of living.
I like the quote from James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, so
exactly.
I think, as you've said, kind of a call for men to really step up and not be passive, but to receive the gospel, but then to be active and be a doer of the word.
And I think it's a great way to end it. And I would recommend everyone go Google search Unleash the Gospel, Archdiocese of Detroit, Unleash the Gospel. Read through it. It does a great job of giving this vision and then getting practical about how to do it. So it's unleashthegospel.org, and on there you can read it, print it off, and enjoy it. Bishop Battersby, thank you so much for coming on and joining us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure, and thank you both for the work you do for the men of Iowa. God bless you.
Well,
may your ministry prosper.
Thank you. All we're doing is filling up time until John Ricardo's on at 11, so we appreciate that. Now, thank you so much, and please stick around after the break. We'll be right back. Friends, what's the one thing you buy that you hope you'll never use? Insurance. That's why you want to make sure you're protected ahead of time, your family, home, car, and business. Robert Cota and his team at Farm Bureau Financial Services can help make sure you're protected. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Zach and I just got done with Bishop Battersby in our discussion on Unleash the Gospel. A blessing to have him on. I know his time is very busy. We scheduled this thing out about a month ago to get him on, but glad we could get him on.
Yeah, it was great to have him. And I think, you know, some people might ask, why do I need to read this letter? This is about Detroit. And it really, I think it pertains to some of their pastoral needs, but really it's a great application to our own diocese. I think it's worth at least skimming. You may not read 60 pages. It's a pretty quick read, but maybe just to look through it. I think there's some great things about the power of person-to-person witness and really the importance of seeing every interaction as having potential, that we reach out to each person, that we say, what does God want me to do in this situation with this person, and say, and how can I just share my faith in a very gentle way, or be that witness? And so I think some of those points in there, those finer points, are very important. Also some great things on the laity and the role of the laity, because this is really, I think, directed more toward the laity and their mission, being on the front lines, than just the priests, although obviously the priests have a very, very special role in evangelization.
Yeah, a couple of the quotes we didn't get to that I kind of highlighted and thought were worthwhile. We mentioned that there's a part on the Eucharist, and I thought this was a good quote. The members of the local church need to be regularly rekindled in quote-unquote Eucharistic amazement by preaching and catechesis that helps to deepen their understanding of faith in this immeasurable gift and moves them to make a gift of self in return. So then it talks about adoration and helping people understand the truth in the Blessed Sacrament. And I think it's so important. I think the church needs to do a better job. And we've talked about this in the show. Mm-hmm. Catechesis is super important. It's the most important thing we can do is help people to understand it. But when it comes to the Eucharist, the source and summit of our life, we need to have a better understanding as lay people. And then I real quick want to touch on families. The part on families is super important. It is the baseline of everything they're doing, the building block. It says, families are the heart of the archdiocesan effort to unleash the gospel because they are the first and the most important setting in which evangelization takes place. And then further on, yet we are all too aware that the family today is in crisis. We live in a society that devalues human life, rejects the plan of God for marriage, and redefines the family according to human ideas. The symptoms of this crisis include, but are not limited to, divorce, cohabitation, single parenthood, pornography, gender confusion, and the isolation caused by individualism and a culture that views children and the elderly as burdens, and on and on and on, and talks about how we as the church need to reclaim the family, and then from there fix all these ills in society. So, again, we strongly recommend that you go out, unleashthegospel.org, read it, and dive through it, and really get to know what the Archdiocese is doing and how you can incorporate that in your own life. Iowa Catholic Radio is listener supported, so please consider making a tax-deductible donation today at iowacatholicradio.com. And thank you again for joining us today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I am Joe Stopulis. It is time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.